Please remain standing and turn with me this morning to James chapter 4. Today we're moving towards the second half of this chapter, verses 11 through 17. James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. As we continue our study of the book of James, we pray that your spirit would make your word clear to us. That you would help keep us from distractions of mind, thought. That we would focus in on what your word has to teach us and that we would apply it to our lives. I pray that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming your truth. May your word and your truth be heard. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37 tell us this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I don't think we pause often enough and reflect on those words of Jesus in Matthew 12 and the fact that every word that we speak matters. Now, James, in his letter here, has already warned us about the tongue and the taming of the tongue. Back in chapter 3, we've read the warnings that the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison, that the tongue is set on fire by hell. If you'd like to turn with me back to James chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 12 that we covered a couple months ago, as James comes back to this teaching now here in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, regarding what we say in our words, we want to have the context of what James has already taught and he's written before in this letter, and it's been a few months since we studied that. So James chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So we do know that the tongue can say evil, hateful things. We also know that our mouths can say godly, uplifting things as well. People will give an account, Jesus says, for every careless word they speak. By our words we will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. I wonder if you and I were to sit down, if we were to read an account of every word that we uttered in the last 7 days, would we see a lot of careless words? I know I would in my own life if I were to read every word that I said. As I pause a moment to think about that, I am not pleased with many of the words that I uttered this week. Sinful words. Hurtful words. Negative words. Not words of life and encouragement. Now, if you were to try and take all of the words that you uttered in the last week, and if you had to decide of everything that you said in the last 7 days, if the majority of your speech was positive or the majority of your speech was negative, how would you do? Are you more positive in your speech? Is it often uplifting? Or are you more negative in the things that you say? As I look at our culture today, it seems fewer and fewer people tend to be those who always encourage and strive to build up. Instead, we often see complaining, and we see bitterness and hate and discord and strife and even slander. Ephesians 4:29 reminds us, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." As I consider my words in the last week, I'm not sure that all my words show grace to all those who heard them. Are we building each other up with our words? Are we building up those who need Christ around us each day with the things that we say? Do the unsaved hear a difference in your speech that they're curious about? Or do we join in the careless and hurtful talk of the world? Colossians 3:8. "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." Paul states in Colossians chapter 3, "You used to speak in a certain way, but you should speak that way no longer. We must put all these things away." Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20. "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Are we really careful with the things that come out of our mouth? Probably not like we should be. But be careful, little mouths, what you say. James has already reminded us earlier back in James 3:10 that we just looked at, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." So now after this section in the first half of chapter 4, where James speaks of our need for humility and reminds us to be aware of the fights and quarrels among you, he's speaking of discord that can happen within the body of Christ. Those passions that are at war within us cause us not only to sin, but they cause us to sin against one another. In the body of Christ, just like outside of the body of Christ, there is sin. We sin. We still struggle with sin. We will sin against each other. Hopefully we're quick to repent when we do sin, and the one whom we sin against is quick to forgive us for our failings. James also warns us in chapter 4 of being too much in love with the world. And by our worldliness, we can also hurt one another. And then that call to humility, "But he gives more grace. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." In that call we looked at last week to repent of our sins. So now we come to verses 11 and 12, where again the tongue is brought up and how our tongues can be judgmental towards one another. Look at those verses again, James 4, 11 and 12. He writes, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. James goes back to that common address of brother. Now, after previously in chapter 4, we looked at that harsh, blunt, calling those who love the world adulterers. He says, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. James is speaking against critical speech within the body of Christ, perhaps slander. Those fights and quarrels within the body are leading now to unkind and unjust speech, a complete opposite of that call to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Instead, there is a critical and criticizing spirit within the church. Oh, how easy it is for us to grumble against one another. Oh, how easy it is for us to engage in gossip and backbiting and even slanders we often speak out of turn. Is my speech toward my brothers and sisters in Christ such that I would be pleased for them to hear every word that I say about them, even if they were standing right next to me? Would I want others talking about me the same way that I talk about other people? Those are valid questions for us to consider. Do we slander? Do we gossip? Do we speak out of turn? Probably far more than we would like to admit if we're truly honest. Perhaps even we should look at our speech in general and see whether or not the majority of the things we say day in and day out are positive or they are negative. Perhaps we ought to look at how we speak about each other in the body of Christ and make a better effort at building one another up. Not only in their presence, when we should be giving encouraging words to one another, but in their absence, as we speak of others in the body, we should be focusing on the positive. We are to guard the good name of our neighbor. We see that that is the heart of the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This commandment goes far beyond just the simple, we should not lie. We have an obligation to tell the truth. We have an obligation to look out for our neighbor in our speech, to truly love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We remember how expansive this commandment really is in Scripture when we consider the Westminster Larger Catechism questions regarding duties required in the ninth commandment and sins forbidden in this commandment. What are the duties required in the ninth commandment? The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man, and the good name of our neighbor, as well as our own. Appearing and standing for the truth, and from the heart, sincerely, freely, clearly, and fully, speaking the truth and only the truth in matters of judgment and justice, and in all other things whatsoever. A charitable esteem of our neighbors, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering of their infirmities, freely acknowledging their gifts and their graces, defending their innocency, a ready receiving of a good report, and unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them. Discouraging talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers, love and care of our own good name, and defending it when need requireth, keeping of lawful promises, studying and practicing of whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, and of good report. And we see those things in Philippians 4, verse 8. James, now in this letter, is not telling us to ignore sin here. And in the ninth commandment, where we are to look out for the good name of our brother, he's not telling us to ignore sin in his life either. And we'll look more into that in just a moment with the issue of judging and what he's saying. Scripture tells us how to deal with sin. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault, just the two of you. If you see your brother in sin, you have an obligation as a believer in Christ to go to him and to tell him to repent. That is not judging, that is loving him as you would love yourself. You should welcome anyone who would come to you and say, I think you might be sinning here. not in an arrogant, gotcha sort of way, and not announcing your sin to others or announcing it on Facebook. Unfortunately, when we see sin in others, we often cast stones at them by our words, and not even to them, but how we defame the name of our dear brother in Christ. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what they did? Let me tell you, and then we proceed to tell when we should keep quiet. There is a way to deal with sin. If your brother sins, go to him one-on-one. If he refuses to listen, take one or two others with you. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother, but if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In the modern church, we get so afraid of church discipline, fearing that there may be a scandal, we often ignore it. We just talk about our brother and we talk about his sin behind his back. Church discipline should be ongoing all the time, as my brother in Christ loves me and they gently help me stay on that straight and narrow path. The other question from the larger catechism that deals with the ninth commandment is, what are the sins that are forbidden in the ninth commandment? We shall not bear false witness. The sins forbidden in the ninth commandment are all prejudicing the truth and the good name of our neighbors as well as our own, especially in public judicature, giving false evidence, suborning false witnesses, wittingly appearing and pleading for an evil cause, outfacing and overbearing the truth, passing unjust sentence, calling evil good and good evil, rewarding the wicked according to the work of the righteous and the righteous according to the work of the wicked, forgery, concealing the truth, undue silence in a just cause, and holding our peace when iniquity calls for either a reproof from ourselves or a complaint to others, speaking the truth unseasonably or maliciously to a wrong end, or perverting it to a wrong meaning, or in doubtful and equivocal expressions to the prejudice of truth or justice, speaking untruth, lying, slandering, backbiting, detracting, tale-bearing, whispering, scoffing, reviling, rash, harsh, and partial censuring, misconstructing intentions, words, and actions, flattering, vainglorious boasting, thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves or others, denying the gifts and graces of God, aggravating smaller faults, hiding, excusing, or extenuating of sins when called to a free confession, unnecessary discovering of infirmities, raising false rumors, receiving and countenancing false evil reports, and stopping our ears against just offense, evil suspicion, envying or grieving at the deserved credit of any, endeavoring or desiring to impair it, rejoicing in their disgrace and infamy, scornful contempt, fond admiration, breach of lawful promises, neglecting such things as are of good report and practicing or not avoiding ourselves or not hindering what we can in others, such things as procure an ill name. Now, we don't want to spend our time today focusing on that list from the larger catechism, but I think it serves as an illustration that Scripture has a lot to say about the sins of our tongue and how often we can speak evil, and how often we should try to avoid that. James brings up another aspect about our tongues in verse 11. Not only should we not speak evil, but we should not judge our brother. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Earlier in James, we saw that God's law is a law of love. Jesus summed up the moral law of God as, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. When we stop loving God and stop loving our neighbor, then we become judgmental. Leviticus 19, verses 16 through 18. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. James says, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And we are commanded to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Once we stop doing that, once we stop loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have placed ourselves in the place of God and His law, and we have become judges. We judge our brother unjustly. We speak ill of him when we slander him. And dare I say, even when we don't love him enough to speak to him in love about his sin. We judge our neighbor when we hold him up to unbiblical standards. When we add to or we take away from the law of God. When we impose upon the Word of God things that God's Word does not say, we are not the judge God is, and that is why we can and should hold each other accountable to the standard of God's Word, because this is God's standard and not our standard. It is not judging to say, obey God's Word. It is not judging to say, obey the Ten Commandments. It is not judging for me to lovingly tell my brother about his sin. We are to judge by fruit. That's the whole point of James chapter 2, where he speaks about faith without works being dead faith. If a believer in Christ is not bearing fruit, then questions should be asked. Do we love each other that much? To seek to build one another up in our common faith, to encourage one another, to speak truthful and kind words and not to gossip and slander. Do we love each other enough to say, brother, I see sin in your life and you need to repent of that sin? We are to show love by example to the law of God as well. James says that we are not to be simply hearers of the Word and not doers of God's Word. We need to hear and we need to do. We need to make sure that we are putting our faith into practice. In verse 12, James states, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? There's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. We cannot decide that we like some of God's Word and ignore others. There is only one lawgiver. We cannot make up new laws and add to God's Word and force people to obey them. The law of God is not subjective. It does not change with time and place. The law of God stands firm. And there's only one judge of man. There is only one who is able to save and destroy. I cannot judge your salvation. I am not your judge. I am not the one to say, you know, you get into heaven, but the other guy over there, he doesn't get into heaven. I am told to hold others accountable to God's law and where God has spoken, and so are you. I am to call sinners to repentance, to encourage the lost to turn to Christ, but you also are called to call brothers who are in sin to repent and to turn from that sin and to live unto righteousness. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If my brother is caught in a sin, then it should be my burden to restore him gently. Not to parade his sin around for all to see, not to slander him, not to talk about him to others. It should break my heart when my brother is living in unrepentant sin, and it should motivate me to love him and not judge him. The Word uses that phrase, you shall not judge. Don't judge me, often as an excuse to sin. Don't tell me I'm sinning because you're a worse sinner than I am, and everyone has their sins, people will say. Or you're not my judge. No, I'm not your judge, but God is your judge. And if you are violating God's law, I am to tell you to stop and to repent and to turn from whatever sin that is. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6 speaks of how we are to judge within the church. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 13, Paul writes, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, do not even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as Paul is speaking of judging, he is not speaking about judging another person's eternal state, as James is referring to in James chapter 4, but instead judging sin within the midst of the body of Christ, the church. In chapter 6, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians to tell them to judge disputes among themselves rather than taking their disputes to the civil courts. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 7 and 8. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded, but you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers? And Paul here now in his thought takes us back to James's appeal to humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. Rather than wrong each other, rather than defraud your brother in front of a pagan judge, it's better for you to suffer the wrong and be defrauded. Rather than revile your brother or speak ill against him, you should not judge him and be judgmental, but instead show him the love that he needs. That may mean that you do go to him one-on-one and point out to him sin that may be in his life. But don't cast aspersions on him and cast judgment on him and defame his good name in front of others. We are to deal gently with sin. We are to strive to overlook an offense. We are to seek to live at peace among all men as we are able. James says there should be no bitter jealousy and selfish ambition within the body of Christ. We are not to tear each other down, but to build each other up. For we know that the judge of all the earth will do right. Not only will God be just and bring justice to all the injustices of the world, but God will deal with all of the areas where we have been wronged, even within the body of Christ. Sometimes Christians do not treat one another as Christians should. We sin. Sometimes our sin is evidence. It's not a matter of if we will sin against one another in the body of Christ, but when we sin against one another in the body of Christ, will we be the first ones to repent of that sin? And if we are sinned against, will we be the first to forgive? Do I truly love my brother as I love myself? Do I love my brother as I love myself? Not just my neighbor, as those commandments 5 through 10 apply to everyone that I come into contact with, but even more so within the body of Christ. Do I love my brother by showing honor to him? Do I love my brother by looking out for his life? Do I value life as created in the image of God? Do I love my brother by protecting his chastity and his purity? Do I pray for the marriages in this church? Do I view marriage as Scripture views marriage? Tonight we're starting a study in our Confession of Faith on marriage in our evening service that we'll be looking at for a couple of months. Do I love my brother by looking out for his possessions and protecting that which is his? Do I love my brother by protecting his good name, as we've been discussing, and not speaking evil against him? And do I love my brother by not coveting what is his, but by being content with what the Lord has entrusted to me? So often those passions at war within me cause me to sin against my brother, and I don't love him as I should. We are not to speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one who is able to save and destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? So what about Matthew 7? Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. What about this scripture? When Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Before I can help my brother with his sin, which you see Jesus does not ignore here in this passage, I need to see my own sin and to try to deal with my own sin. Oh, how easy it is for us to compare ourselves to others. I can look critically at others. I can point out the sin in others, all the while ignoring the own sin in my own life. May we all repent of our sins of the tongue. Speech that we should not be voicing. Speech that is critical or hurtful. Speech that may be slanderous or judgmental. May I look at the ways that I speak evil against a brother and seek to repent. For then I may see clearly to help my brother with that speck that's in his eye after I take that log out of my own. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word calls us to repentance. That your word calls us again to examine our tongues, that we should be careful about what we say about others. How easy it is for us to focus on the negative in our world. We see that all around us. How easy it is to speak an ill word of someone else. Help us to guard our tongues. Help us to speak only those things that are upright and true and those things which build one another up for their own good. May we be those who encourage. May we be those who strengthen. May we share words of life. We pray that you would help us to repent of those ways where we have sinned with our tongues. And may we strive to speak only that which is glorifying and God-honoring. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.